Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker.
I think he introduced us well enough. There's a little bit of snot going on in our house right now, though, so this is not for tears, as though some of you were expecting. That's from the other orifice here. Okay, for you media people, I love you and grace, because I don't know how this is going to work today. And if you're watching at home, this is meant for the people here, this whiteboard. So if we can get it on, that's great. And if not, I'm terribly sorry. And the camera adds 10 pounds. It has nothing to do with a fourth baby in my 40s. Do we have any Shakespeare fans in the house? Okay, we've got a couple. I was counting on you, Jacob. Thanks. Now, for the rest of us, we used to be able to buy Cole's notes, so we didn't necessarily need to understand the play to get a good grade on that test if we bought the Cole's notes, because it would give us the plot, the main characters, and everything we needed to know to succeed. So this morning is a little bit like the Cole's notes of the meta-narrative, or the big story of the Bible. So, big story, or for you wordy folks, meta-narrative. Okay, of the Bible, Cole's Notes version. If you're younger, you didn't have Cole's Notes. Your success is in Wikipedia. So, like Wikipedia, you can probably edit what I'm going to deliver this morning. And I have little sticky notes at the front in case you feel the need to correct my Cole's Notes version of the big story. So if at any point you think, I need to add something, take your little sticky note, put it on your lap, and then at the end, you're welcome to come and add it up here if there's time. In university, I had a friend, Amber. We were roommates, and we just loved being friends, but we still had to get the studying done, and so that was our strategy, as we would study for 2 hours with our sticky notes, and then we'd have we're going to have a conversation about everything that we read about or thought about that we weren't able to talk about in the last 2 hours. So that's what that's there for you. Please feel free to get up and use them. If you think, I want to add something, use those sticky notes to your heart's content. Okay, this might work, and it might not. So, like any good story, we're going to have a beginning and an end. And for the sake of my one whiteboard, I'm going to put us here today. I have no idea if the end is right here, or if we need 14 more whiteboards. Jesus said he didn't know the time either, so I'm just going to put here. So if any of you want to correct that right away, you're welcome to, but I'm not sure that Jesus was in the place to correct that either, so you might not want to take one of those yet. Okay, so this is us today. Oh, so sorry. Okay. Now, us today might be going through a good day, or it could be a particularly terrible time. But I have some hope for you today and some encouragement that the story isn't over yet. Okay, the story is over here. And if your story's not good completely yet, take heart. It's just not over yet. And sometimes you can get all the good advice in the world of what to do, practices that are going to help you, and they might help you. But sometimes you just gotta hang on. So if you're in I just gotta hang on, all the power to you. Hang on. Okay, that's okay to be there because the story's not over yet. Big story. And Romans, written by Paul, tells us God works all things together for your good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So, all things, if they're not good for you yet, don't worry, it is still coming. So hang on for you today. Now, in RT movies, they often will start at the climax. You know, a lot of movies are chronological. You see the beginning, this is the progression, and it ends beautifully. But in RT movies, they'll often show you a clip here of the climax. Big picture, what's happening? And then they reel back to the beginning. So we're going to start with a climax here today. And if I can have that screen on with the little picture. up here. Look, our climax, we know, thanks to football and sporting events, even if we're not Christians, we know that the climax of the story is in John 3:16. Do you mind putting it up there for me? You can skip that. We'll get back to it. Okay, I'll read it in two versions for you. The New American Standard Bible says, "For God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should," typo, sorry, "not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." And the Message put it this way: this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why: so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it is. He came to help, to put the world right again. And that's from the Message. Okay, so our climax is this here: God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. So we've got Jesus is coming. Here we go. His kingdom, I'll give you a crown so you remember that. And this is everything he did and he brought. He said, the kingdom is with you. So he healed the sick. There's a Band-Aid. He set people free. This is a brain, if you can't tell. So people who were troubled in their spirits were completely set free and they're put back in their right mind. Okay, his kingdom was life, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so his kingdom is good. So his kingdom is coming. His death, here we go, crucifixion, death, and resurrection. We'll go with that. This is the climax of the big story. Jesus came, and he was awesome. He loved like nobody else. He served like nobody else. He gave like nobody else, and people loved him because he was just pure love. God is love. And he changed the world by the love he brought. Jesus' coming kingdom. Okay, but he was crucified. Now, this isn't a mistake or a problem just because people didn't like him. He claimed to be God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good man or a good teacher. He said, I am the Son of God. Here I am. Okay, and this was a problem for some people. But for Jesus, he was just doing what his Father sent him to do, what he chose to do. And here's his death and resurrection. Now, we could look at this part of the story, as some did, and they said, this is the end of the story. He's dead. We got him. Life's over. He didn't establish the kingdom like he thought, and it's done. Kind of like where you might be today. But this wasn't the end of the story. He came bursting back to life, descended to hell, took the keys, reinstated things. So this doesn't make a lot of sense yet, because we haven't actually talked about the beginning. Just like it happens in the movies. You see the climax, and you're like, hang on. What was going on there? I don't understand. So in the beginning, I actually don't have to talk about an awful lot because Pastor Jay did a great job last weekend. But we have, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we can have, here's the Wi-Fi connection. Look, Wi-Fi's, we're connected. He makes Adam and Eve, and they are also, look, connected. All's well. This is... okay, so in the beginning, God creates the heaven and earth. There's connection to God. It's perfect. It's awesome. Jay did it last week. I'm not going to go over it. But there's some, what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. These are grapes, in case you can't tell. And they're supposed to guard. And shamar is the word in Hebrew. This is protect. Okay, these are just some of the things that they're supposed to do. Now, there's a snake also in this story. And at some point, the snake lies over here to these two. And he lies about who God is, and he lies about who they are. So another aside for you today. If you have lies in your brain today, you can be sure that they're not coming from here, but that they're coming from here. So if the lies to you are, can't do it, never going to do it, never going to change, never, ever, anything, that is from right here, my friends, and not from here. Okay, so I just want you to be aware that he's always been a liar. He's been lying from the beginning. And this is what he does here. They disobey God's one thing that they can't do. Don't eat from the tree. Okay, here we go. Don't eat from the tree. They eat from the tree, and right away, it's that pit in the stomach feeling. Oh no, that was the wrong decision. Most of you know that feeling because we've all experienced, oh no, that was the wrong decision. They feel that, and immediately, we have disconnection. It's not working. Disconnection here, not working. Work sucks now. Okay, this is all part of the curse, right? This is not working because we disobeyed and believed this lie here about God and ourselves. Now, right away, though, Jesus says, you can't fix this. You can't fix this. You guys were in charge here, and you gave away your boss. Let's go with boss. You were in charge, folks, and you gave that away to the snake. There's no way you can get it back now because you've made these mistakes, folks. But I can fix this. And I'm the only one who can fix this. So no matter what you do to try to fix that pit in the stomach there, there's nothing you can do to fix this. So this is where God sends his own son. So everything here in the Old Testament, let's do it this way, leads us to Jesus. It's all a setup. Okay? Someone is coming to save you. Fix this. And everything here is someone has come to save you. And these are just, we're still working it out. The rest of the, you know, the climax has happened. We're just tying up the loose ends here. Okay, so someone is coming. Now, biblical scholars, we can like run through. It's really quick here. There's a series of highs and lows. Okay, we can take Noah. There's a low. Noah's great, but the whole flood thing, not so good. So maybe. All right. Moses, giving of the law, really good. God's establishing what it takes to live in this world. Okay? Before that, we've got Abraham, and he's the start of God. Like, I'm going to work through certain people. Have you had enough? Okay. But down here, friends, we've got polygamy. Here, two wives. We can have two wives there. Polygamy. We've got all sorts of things happening, and there's like fire in the temple because they get ransacked by their enemies, and this is just going bad and bad. These people know we need a fix. And Jesus, when he comes, this is what he does, is he reinstates everything how it's meant to be. He brings back connection to the Father. He brings back the ability to have restored relationships. He forgives all the sin. Here, red, it's kind of wiped clean. He heals all sickness on the cross. Death here, it says, death came by this. It says he put to death the one who owned death. Okay, so we have eternal life now. So now we have life. Okay, this is just a really quick recap. Like I said, you might need your Cole's Notes things right now. All right, but this is the idea of, and here we have sacrifices. You know, they're trying to do little things to cover all this mess. And this is what happens here. So for those of you who are here, Hebrews 12. I just want to read this to you this morning. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. Your only success here, friends, besides this hanging on, is this consider. You've got to consider this. Consider him who endured so much. This is the only way to make it through. Consider him and what he did on the cross. Now, this Children's Aid Society, some of you may have had terrible experiences with. The Children's Aid Society exists to help families who are in their circumstances aren't great, right? We got to get them out and get them healthy and safe. Now, for us, this is like the worst analogy ever, I want you to know, but I feel like the church is a little bit like the best version of the Children's Aid Society. Okay, so the only way here, when we consider Jesus in, the Bible talks about we believe. Some Christians will say, ask Jesus into your heart, ask into heart. Some people use the word repent. The big idea is that we recognize we're a mess, and we have sinned, and we are so far from God's perfection. That's the big point here. We are so far from God's, where God's at. So we repent. That means we're going this way, and we go completely the other direction. This is where I was, and this is where I'm at. So this is where I'm talking about the church, is the Children's Aid Society, in a way. There have been these stories where kids have been stolen or abducted when they're little, and they live their whole lives with these foreign parents who aren't theirs. Kids don't know any different because it happened maybe when they were two or three, and they don't have the memories other than maybe some trauma on the inside. So the church is a little bit like, we have authorization, just so you know. You've been stolen. You're actually in the wrong house right now. Who you're living with isn't your real parent or guardian. I don't know if you know that, but you have a real family, and you have an amazing father who loves you. He's got everything you need. So if you didn't feel quite right, or that you didn't fit in, or things weren't okay, you're absolutely right, because you're from another family, and we would love you to come with us today if you're willing, because we can set you up with your actual family who can help you. That's the church. Come. I don't have it all figured out. I work for the Children's Aid Society. I'm also in the mess with you. But I have a father who's so good and so loving. And you are actually meant to live here with us. Your siblings don't have it all together, but you're with us. Now, that person has a choice. You know, it's the absolute mercy and grace of God that any of us are in his family. Mr. Putin himself is welcome. Anyone, we're all in this together. And sometimes, though, you're in this house and you think, I don't know who to believe anymore, because that seems so foreign, or that's crazy. I've been here all my life. This is normal. I'm not sure what you're saying. So every person is given that opportunity, that choice. You can come with us. Now, if you're anything like me, this is going to sound bad. As soon as I make that decision, I'm in the house. I want to be in God's house. I want out. Let me hear. This is glory. If you haven't read the Bible, streets are paved with gold. There's no tears, no crying, no fighting. My house this morning was nothing like this, okay? And I would love this. Now, the problem is, we go back to this main point of the big story, is that God so loved the world, and he still loves the world. And it says in the scriptures, he loves the world so much that he doesn't want one to perish. Not one. So we're going to give him some more time. Some more time. However much time we need to do our job here and to get even one more in. Because one more from today or tomorrow or from your whole life, if one more person is in the family of God, woo-hoo! Seriously, that is cause for celebration. Because he doesn't want one to perish. And that's why the Bible tells us there's a celebration anytime one person joins the kingdom. Because we are already better off than we were yesterday. One more's in. I'm sorry. He's got so much to say. One more thing. Okay. He could have done this really well, folks. He has a master's in biblical studies, so maybe he should be the one up here with all the sticky notes fixing as I go. But I just want to tell you something. Once you decide, yes, I believe and I want to repent or turn which way I'm going from the sin that I'm in, it doesn't mean it's easy. So a good choice isn't necessarily an easy choice. So if you've been in this other house, just so you know, you think like, well, this is how I think. There's a whole new way of thinking once you come here. One of my children got a birthday present at one point, and it was, I don't want to give the child away, okay? So this thing, though, couldn't operate without people who had knowledge to operate this item. And both mom and dad have no expertise in this area, but we said, yes, you really want this, you can have this item. Child used the item, we read the directions, we tried, the item broke. We brought it back to the store, there's something wrong with the item. Oh, we'll give you another one. We can't figure out what's wrong. This happened 3 times. And we decided we shouldn't maybe have this item in our house because we actually don't know what we're doing. When I reread the manual, there were some specifics. Thank you. I'll read it in a second. There were some specifics. Do not use these things with it. We had continually let our child use with this thing, which was breaking it down. My only point is this. When you join the family of God, there's a new way of thinking that you have to learn, and it's about obedience. And it comes kind of with the manual. And if you don't follow the manual, it's just going to keep breaking down. And so you might be trying as best as you might. You just don't. You're not reading the manual or following it properly. Because disobedience here is what costs the whole thing. And the obedience of Jesus is what actually reinstated you and I to have some level of being in charge here. So your success as a child of God in this family also is going to hinge a little bit on this word obedience. Now, we don't like that word, but that's why I said it's just kind of like understanding the manual is maybe a better way to put that. We just don't know how to make it work. We haven't seen it work. We don't know it. But little steps in this area will help us live the way we were designed and not to keep breaking down, although that does still happen. All right, he's going to come up here, and he's probably going to fix what's gone wrong. And that's lovely. You don't need it for your thing. All right, so do you need me to kill some time here, honey, until you're ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Oh, you have your own.
Yeah.
We could sing a duet. Well,
I didn't know that was part of the plan. Cool. So I guess you get to try and figure out everything that's on this whiteboard all in one go. So if you don't understand something, I would imagine go and talk to Andrea because I think she can explain it more. She did a great job. So so this is big picture. That's excellent. I mean, to see the big picture and how things fit in and stuff like that. But I thought what I'd do is just take it down to the personal and the individual, right? What does this have to do with me? And we were on a camping trip. This camping trip turned out to be a very anointed camping trip because God spoke so much and did so much. It took my son, Noah, to camp out for just one night. It was 24 hours. We went somewhere not too far away. And we got there, we set up, had a fire going, and in the middle of the fire, we started do some s'mores, we ate some s'mores, we sat around the fire for maybe a couple of hours. It was just great, really good time. And then Noah turned to me and said, "Hey, Dad, do you think you can read the Bible to me tonight?" And so I said, "Well, of course." And, you know, what Dad doesn't, you know, want his son to say something like that. And I sat down in our tent with Noah, and we started to open the Bible, and then above our heads flew in a giant monarch butterfly. And I wonder if you could put a picture up on the screen. And the interesting thing was that this monarch butterfly, that's not it, that's just a little kind of a show and tell of a monarch, but this monarch butterfly was the span of my hand. And it flew in, and it just started flying around. It was like we were having an entertainment moment from God. And you could feel the presence of God in the tent. And it was like God just really started to speak to me about this situation. And, of course, the very next Sunday, I think it was Sean and Mrs. Armley came in, and Mrs. Armley was dressed with a butterfly top on, and Sean was painting a butterfly. And so I thought, God, you're really saying something to me about this. And I happened to hear lots of conversations in the hallway about butterflies that day as well. And so I know it's more than just me that God's speaking this to. But what God said to me, if you look at the wings on the butterfly, they look like fire, don't they? They're the same colors as you would see in the flames of fire. And God said to me that your identity is born out of the Holy Spirit. Your identity in me is born out of the Holy Spirit. When I transform you, you're born again. And in that being born again, you become like me. And if you see those, if you see that picture, those wings are never going to change color until that butterfly dies. That those wings are going to keep that fiery furnace type orangey red color. And it's fused into the butterfly. The color, the fire is fused into the butterfly. And God started to speak to me and say that the Holy Spirit is fused into us. Once we're born again, he has fused himself to us. We are one with him. We are reconnected. And there is no way that we can be separated again. And I want to say to you that God wants to, in this time, that kind of tent of meeting with the butterfly, when me and Noah just looked up and saw this butterfly flying around us for a good 3-4 minutes, is a place of transformation. It's a place of change. And if you've walked in today and you've been carrying some things, you've been thinking about some things, you've been desiring some change in some things in your life, or maybe in the whole of your life, I want to tell you that you've come to the right place today. Because I believe that God wants to set this building apart, set this place apart to be one of those places of transformation that he wants to use. So that people will come in, but they won't go out being the same ever again. And that's what the butterfly symbolizes. We all know, don't we, all of the things that we study when we're in school about the butterfly and the chrysalis and the transformation, the metamorphosis that happens, right? We've all heard a little bit about that. The interesting thing is about butterflies is that when they go into the chrysalis, what happens is their brains release this liquid, this fluid that goes over their whole body. And with that moment, what happens is the body of the caterpillar begins to transform. And the liquid dissolves the things in the body that they don't need for the next season. And it begins the process of growth into for the things that they do need for the next season. That all happens inside that time of transformation. And whether you expected it or not, I believe that you've walked in today to a place of transformation, a place where God can send you out in a different way. With maybe the things that you don't need to hang on to gone, the things that are holding you back, the things that are maybe weighing you down, and the things that enable you to be the person that God wants you to be in this next season going forward. And so my life, personally, has been one of those transformational stories, those metamorphoses. I was born in England, raised there, and many of you know that I became a Christian when I was very young, when I was 6 years old. And my parents took me along to a big evangelistic event in my town where there was a factory building. you know, one of these old kind of dilapidated factory buildings, and they transformed it into a place where the gospel could be preached, just like this morning. And in that place, myself, my sister, my mom and dad all walked down to the front, and we gave our lives to Jesus. We invited him into our hearts. And it began a moment in my life of transformation, of change. And that transformation started a whole sequence of events where I had some wonderful things happen, where I was healed of an eye condition when I was very young. I was in a traditional, very traditional church, but the pastor asked for people to come down to the front, and everybody was like, oh, you know, does God really still heal? And all of these questions were being asked, you could tell, around the church building. And he prayed for me, and I fell down on the floor. I didn't even know what was happening to me. And when I got up, my eyes were healed. And I walked to the back of the church and sat down, and this lady came up to me, she whispered in my ear, and a little child will lead them. And so I realized from a very early point in my life that God was a God of transformation. Not just of salvation, but a God that changes us, a God that transforms us, that sets us free, and enables us to become something that is more beautiful and more amazing than you could ever imagine. And God wants to do that for you today, whether you've known him for a long time or whether it's your first time hearing anything about what you've heard today. Whether you're online or whether you're here in the building, he wants to show you that. And unfortunately, for me, I was witness to somebody passing away right in front of my eyes. A friend of mine who we were playing soccer on a soccer pitch. We call it football in England. That's the right name for it. Just want to let you know. And on that field, we were playing soccer, and a friend of mine with about 20 of my other friends around me actually fell down and passed away right in front of my eyes. He had a heart condition that nobody knew about. And it shocked me because I had never seen death. I was 13 years old. I'd walked with God. I'd seen him do some amazing things. My parents were missionaries. My dad was a pastor. And I'd seen God do some great things, but I never expected to see somebody just die in front of my eyes. And the ambulance came. They tried to resuscitate him, and it just didn't work. And he ended up, we had a funeral for him a few days later. And it impacted me so much, and I didn't realize this until afterwards, that I started to blame God. And how many people have said, this is God's fault, right, in your life? And I started down this track of thinking of, I am not going to be able to believe really in God. Unconsciously, a lot of this was going on, because how could he let somebody who was innocent, who had, as far as I knew, never done anything wrong, die in front of my eyes like that? A friend of mine. And I went down this path where I was, I got involved with a lot of people who were, walking on a different life as I was, drugs and alcohol and dating and all of this stuff that wasn't of him, wasn't about him. And it's that whole Romans 12:2, where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's like, if you don't be transformed with God's Holy Spirit, you will be conformed to the world, right? And I was on that pathway of being conformed to the world. And I even got into fights with some people and different things like that. And one day I just knelt down on my knees and I just said, Jesus, I have come so far away from you, I can't go any further. I don't want to go any further. And in my bedroom, in that moment, I invited Jesus back into my heart. I recommitted my life to him. And I said, I'm never going to go back. And about a year later, I was baptized. And while I was being baptized, I went down into the baptismal tank was on the top of the stage here. I went down into the water. And when I came up, people all over the room started passing out in the Holy Spirit as I came up. It wasn't because of me. It was because Jesus was saying, welcome home, son. Welcome home. It wasn't about me, it was about him pouring out his presence. And if you're here today or if you're watching, he wants to say that to you. He wants to say welcome home to you. He wants to say welcome back. This is where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be like that butterfly flying free. And just, fast forwarding now, Jay said that what I do for work, but actually my passion is to see the lost come to Jesus. My passion is to see the ones that are bound set free. My passion is to see the ones that are sick healed. And that's what I do. That's what I've been doing for the last 15, 20 years of my life. I've been a missionary and I've been on the missions field all over the world and been able to see God do so many things in so many people's lives that I can't deny that he loves his people. He loves this creation. And the thing that I learned when I was walking away from him was that his holiness is real. He's holy. And it says it all through the Bible. It says it in Revelation and Isaiah. It says it and whenever a prophet had a vision, something about God's holiness was part of that. And it talks about it in his word. And if he's holy, he's never done anything wrong. That means we can't blame him for anything. And I learned as a result of walking away that actually what has gone wrong in the world is the brokenness, is the sin. That's what's making our lives the way they are. It's not him. And through that process of coming back to him, I was able to, and this sounds so strange, doesn't it? I was able to forgive him, even though he'd never done anything wrong. Yeah, ever had to forgive somebody, even though they've never done anything wrong? And that was the process for me, that on my journey away from him, I returned to him through realizing that he is holy and that I had held offense because he hadn't done things the way I thought he should. And I encourage you today, if you hold anything against God or others, or maybe even yourself, because part of it was for me, for myself, I encourage you to get before Jesus and ask him, help me forgive. Because it says that as we forgive, he can then forgive us. And forgiveness is the way into what we've been talking about. Saying, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done wrong, because everybody's done something wrong. There's not one of us that is perfect here. And then we begin that process of transformation. Just a couple of stories before I finish about what God's been doing the last few weeks. But a friend of mine, Jorge, who's here, he's been coming with me to the workers' bunkhouse that is just around the corner here. There's about 30 Jamaican guys in that bunkhouse that about 2 years ago I went to, and I just knocked on the door and I just started talking to a couple of them about Jesus and how much he loves them. And I quoted a scripture. I said, Jesus knocks at the door and he asks to come in. And the guy said, oh, do you want to come in? I didn't really want to like say it that way, but he thought I was asking to come in, and he said, come in. And so we went in, and we started praying with these two Jamaican guys, and one of them ends up giving his life to Jesus, and the other one ends up getting filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. And if you want to know about speaking in tongues, I'm happy to talk to you about that later. But after that, I started this relationship with them, and over the last 2 years, even with COVID, being on video calls with them, and one day they call me up and they said, we've got a bunch of cucumbers for you. Come on over and get them. So I run over and get them. And I ended up talking to them about Jesus. And they ended up saying, come to us every week. Come into this bunkhouse every week and tell us more about Jesus. And tell us and worship with us. And so, every week over the summer for three and a half months, I was at the bunkhouse worshiping and praying with 15 16 of these temporary foreign workers. And every week, somebody new would come in and we'd be like, okay, this is the gospel. This is what Jesus did for you. He died on the cross. He rose again to forgive your sins and to give you new life. And they would come into the kingdom. They would give their lives to Jesus. And I don't know how many have been saved yet, but it must be like 6, 7, or 8, something like that. And they're continuing to open up the house. They're in a bit of a busy season because of what happens in the greenhouse. They're working long hours at the moment. But that has become a transformational place. You see? It's become a place where metamorphosis is happening. And that's what God is doing and wants to continue to do here in our lives, in us. Just last week at the back, I was texting. It was terrible. I don't recommend you text in church at all, just so you know. And I was worried I was going to get told off at one point. But, I'm just joking. But I don't think that would happen. Not in the building anyway. No, I'm joking. But we had been told of a friend, his name was Barry. And I'm going to come in to land on this story. But his name is Barry. He's back in England. And we'd known Barry for many years. In fact, his son looks exactly like our son, Noah. They're like doppelgangers. They are like real, not like exactly, but they would be brothers if anybody knew, you know, otherwise. But he actually, we had spent lots of time with his family just because of that relationship, the friendship between our two sons. And Andrea got a text from somebody else over there. And we found out that he had terminal cancer. And we were shocked because I'd literally just been with him two summers ago. We'd actually drove 200 miles to get to him and his family so that Noah could hang out with his son. And I ended up talking with his wife on Messenger. And she sent me a picture of how he was doing. And he was very thin. And obviously, he had very dark feet, which was a sign of, I think, kidneys failing and different things like that. And she said, he's only got a few days to live. But he remembers you coming out and driving all that way just to see him and see his son and how you hung out with them for a day. And He said, thank you. I was like, wow, I was blown away. And while I was texting in the back, God just convicted me and said, you know, I want you to offer to them to receive me as Lord and Savior. And what I didn't know is that they'd been Christians early on in their lives, but our friend told us that they had turned to paganism. And so they weren't following Jesus at the moment. And I knew it was a risk, but I basically asked Claire, his wife, who was a pagan, to ask him if he would receive Jesus into his heart while before he passed away so that he could go to heaven on text. My fingers were like smoking at the back because I was like, this is so immediate. This is needed so now. And then I got this, I was waiting and you know, you get those dots on your screen and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. It seems like eternity, no pun intended, but it was like, I was just so in the moment at the back of church. And then this text comes back and she says to me, this is a pagan believer. She says to me, yeah, he just prayed that prayer you told him to pray and he just received Jesus into his heart. And he says he wants his funeral to be at church and he wants to go back to the place where we got married. And I said, Claire, you can do the same. And we just found out 2 days ago that the pastor from that church actually went to see him and she explained what happened over text and he's been able to build on top of it and now there's this whole new relationship that's been you know connected back into with the church that they once went to. He's on the edge of passing away, but now he knows Jesus. And so we want to thank Jesus for that. You know, it's good when he does something like that because it's not about me, because I'm not even in the room. It's about the Holy Spirit going to the place that is needed and making himself known in that place so that transformation can happen. And in that little room over, you know, 2,000 miles away, that person was transformed as a result of the message, just the message of God's love and his salvation going forth. And so I want to say to you today, just as I come into land, and really say this from my heart, that if you do not know Jesus, that if you are here and you have not made a decision for him, I want to say today is a day for that to happen. That you don't come in and walk out the same, but you come in and you walk out in a new way, in a fresh way. And so maybe we can just bow our heads for a moment. And this is the same for those of you who are watching online at home. I don't know who you're with or who's watching, but I just pray that you would come, Lord. Your Holy Spirit would come. Holy Spirit. And just take a moment to think about what you've heard this morning. Just take a moment to let Jesus come in. And if you're here and you'd like to say, yes, I would like to invite Jesus into my heart. Or maybe you'd like to say, I'd like to recommit my life to him. I just want to give you a moment to raise your hand. Just to open up your heart to Jesus. Just raise your hand. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's just pray this prayer together today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. You are welcome in me. I make you my Lord and Savior today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your cross. Help me to read your word. And help me to find your family. In your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you're here and you're like, I need some of that transformation. I need some of that change. Maybe you just want to stand up and just say yes to Jesus, because that's what it's about. Just stand up and raise your hands to him and just say, I receive that transformation. Let's do that together. Just invite you to do that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to be poured out in this place. We pray right now that that transformation would just come. Things in our lives that need to dissolve and go away. And things in our lives that we need for the next season would now grow. And freedom would come, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Jesus. Lord, and we pray right now that you would make this place a place of transformation, a place of change, a place where things happen, just like the tomb, just like the cross, just like the Red Sea, Lord, just like my bedroom floor, just like that warehouse, Lord, that this would be a place of transformation and that people would come in. And never be the same again. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, and if you're feeling that you want just some prayer for that specifically, I just want to invite you to come forward. Just come forward. Just receive more of that transformation, and we'll be happy to pray for you today. Amen.
I feel like there's a real opportunity you don't want to miss. If you're here and you need prayer for anything, transformation, if anything that Andrea said, you see the pictures. She could write backwards, by the way. Wasn't that amazing? There's a lot that she put on that board as well. Stephen shared a lot of stories. I feel like there's different things stirring in people. And you may just need to come up and go, I need somebody to pray with me. I don't even understand all that I'm feeling. I got that pit in my stomach. Just come on up. If you're part of the house, come on up if you just want prayer. And I think we might go back into worship. So if the worship team's still here, come on up. But if you'd like prayer for anything that was said, come on up. Zach, come on up. I'm going to pray for you. It's okay, church. Come on up if you need prayer. As well, we do have the forge that's open. You can go and fellowship if you'd like afterwards in the foyer, in the forge. We thank you for coming out. We bless you. Wasn't that good? Amen. You can stay and worship with us. You can go in the foyer and fellowship, or you can come and get prayer. All are good options. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.